Hey, just wanted to welcome those that are joining us online live this morning. My name is Pastor Rob. I'm the lead pastor of this church. I want to share a piece of scripture with you. I promise it's in the Bible. We're not going to put it on the screen, though. I want to read it out loud. And I want you to start this morning by envisioning, try your best, get creative in your mind as I read just one verse to think about what's happening, to try and imagine where it is in the Bible. Because if I open up my Bible right now, then you'd be cheating. You could tell where I was. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to read it. You're going to trust me later on. I promise I'll put it up and we can read it together. But let me just read it out loud. And again, try and envision this, you know, whether you want to close your eyes or just quiet your heart. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. So when I hear a verse like that, I'm thinking, okay, something is up. Like something good is happening. If people are flocking to wherever this is, something's just happened for people to want to congregate and go, man, I need a touch of whatever this thing is because I want to be cured. And I don't know your story. Like when I was 23 years old, I had lived like a very sinful life. And I thought, I hear of something going on at this place. Maybe I should go check it out one day. And every part of my body didn't want to go check it out, but I just felt like my feet were, why am I going this way now? It usually happens at altar calls. You know, I'm like, I don't want to go to the front. That's crazy talk. Why am I, you know, why are my feet leading me somewhere? And so this morning, as we look at this passage of scripture, I think you're going to be shocked and surprised about what's actually happening before or after this verse. Because sometimes we just take that verse and go, that verse is for me. This morning, in Jesus' name, I'm going to be cured. It's all going to be good. But then we don't realize the context of where that lands, about the journey that somebody got on to get to that place. Because our life is a journey. And sometimes, as my wife was reading, sometimes there's mountaintops and sometimes there's valley lows, but it's all on a journey towards something or somebody. So let's get to the book of, any guesses this morning where we're going to go with that story? An island and some curing. Thank you very much. There we go. You all knew it. I apologize. I was trying to get creative, and you just ruined the whole surprise. But anyways, we're in Acts 28. It's the very last chapter in the book of Acts. But I want to just recap just for a moment, then we'll read it together. Let's just do an overarching theme here. In Acts 21, so leading up to this very end of the last chapter in Acts, so Acts chapter 21 says, Paul went up to Jerusalem. There's a lot in there. I just want to kind of just, again, brief overview. Acts 22, Paul is arrested. Then we would see that Paul, after he's arrested, he stands before the Sanhedrin. Then a bunch of guys are like, we hate this guy so much, we're not going to eat or drink again until he's dead. And it was like, whoa, that's like an intense story. That's in Acts 23 if you want to read that later. Acts 24, poor old Paul is transferred to Caesarea. He's got to stand before Felix, one of the governors or the leaders. Paul is then questioned by another individual, Festus. Festus goes to gain counsel from the king, King Agrippa. And then Paul has to stand before poor King Agrippa. And in chapter 26, Paul appeals to Caesar. He's like, this is getting me nowhere. I'm going to go to Caesar and figure this out. And King Agrippa is like, dude, if you would have just kept your mouth shut, I would have let you go, man. I just knew you were innocent, and so I would have not. And so he's like, oops. Paul's like, darn it. Acts 27, Paul's transferred to Rome. Along the way to Rome, though, there's a gigantic storm. They're in a boat. They start throwing the cargo over the boat. The boat hits some, like a sandbar. It starts getting smashed to splinters. For those that could swam. For those that didn't know how to swim, they grabbed a piece of the boat and then kind of paddled to shore. And everybody survived. So that's where we get to. So, like, does that sound like something you're like, and then they all got healed? Like, that sounds like, and then they all died. You know, it was traumatic and brutal, and that was crazy. But then something wonderful comes out of this. And so let's look at that together. So we're in Acts 28. We'll start in verse 1. Once safely on shore, again, after the boat had been smashed to splinters, they found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. I can't imagine that. I've been to that part of the world. It's nice and beautiful and sandy beaches. But, in the winter, they do get winter there. And when the islanders saw the snake, in verse 23, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and he put it on the fire. A viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Sometimes when you're collecting wood over there and it's cold outside, snakes will actually just kind of lay dormant. But when you put it in the fire, snake's coming alive. He's awake now. And in verse 4, when the islanders saw the snake hanging on his hands, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice was not allowed for him to live." But Paul shook the snake off his hand and into the fire, and he suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up suddenly and fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said, "He must be a god." There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us with hospitality. His father was sick in bed, suffering from a fever. Paul went to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. And then the verse that I read, when this had happened, the rest of the sick of the island came and were cured. Wow, isn't that just a fun story to think about? I want to pack some more stories about snakes and kind of totally freak us all out this morning, and then we'll hopefully make some sense of it, because there's just some really unique things that happen in Scripture. You're like, really? Like, that makes no sense. But when you see the foreshadowing or the example of why it's written, it's just unbelievable. So just a couple overarching takeaways from this piece of, or this passage of Scripture, and then we'll make the connection again in the Old Testament in just a second. So they thought that Paul was a criminal because, he's a prisoner on the boat. They're taking him to Rome. He's probably in handcuffs. Maybe when he went to swim, they said, "Let's get the handcuffs, otherwise he's not going to make it." He gets to shore, and the local people go, I'm sure the person who was in charge, the officer or the person who was the police, was saying, "Hey, this guy's a criminal, and this guy's a criminal, and that guy's a criminal. So we got to keep an eye on them. Don't let them run away." And so the people know that he's a bad guy. And so then they see the snake come out and bite him. They thought, oh, he escaped the ocean. He escaped from sinking and drowning to death. But justice is what the word they use here, because they have this belief in a goddess or a god that's just like, justice. Like, he was bad, he must die. He avoided the water, but the snake's going to get him in the end. It's just, one bad thing after another is going to happen to this poor guy, Paul. And so this is what the people were thinking. And then along the way, they kept watching him. You can imagine them kind of just like see the snake, but like, oh, dang, that guy's bust. Like, he's done. We've seen this happen before to some other guys. They swelled up and went all crazy, and then they end up dead. Paul is going to end up dead. They're just watching and waiting, like, just going to. And then nothing happens. They're like, oh, well, now what? What are we going to kind of claim now for this poor guy, Paul? And so even though Paul is a strange, messy-looking guy, they concluded, even though he's a dirty, gross, grungy, like if I didn't shave him, he must be a god. Like, how could you just make that shift, right? Like, he's too dirty to be a god. If he was a god, snakes wouldn't bite him. He would just step on snakes, right? But they just make this transition. And so it's so shocking that it reminds us of other things that we see in Scripture. So if we are looking at this book as a whole. So the gospel writer here, his name is Luke. And if we went back just a couple chapters or a couple books. So it's Luke, a story about when Jesus was around, starts telling the story. We flip over to the book of Acts. It continues the story. And now we're at the conclusion of the story in 28. Like, we're going to wrap this baby up with a nice little bow. Like, we can't have Paul dying by a snake bite. Like, that's terrible. Jesus was born, and he came, he saved all the people, and then Paul died by a snake bite. Like, that's a terrible way to end a book, right? That's like a climax from a movie, like, woohoo, and then, the bad guy wins, the snake wins. You're like, okay, that just can't happen. That would make no sense. We can't write it that way. In this part of the world, I want you to just kind of visualize where it is. And so I've got a bit of a slide here this morning of, I actually spent a lot of time in this part of the world. I spent about 2 months all over Italy and Rome and Greece. And so you could see where they started off in Caesarea and then in the boat, and all of a sudden they went across the Mediterranean Sea and it got all stormy and crazy. So they couldn't make it to Rome. They had to stop at Malta. Beautiful place, Crete along the way. And so that's where the big shipwreck is right there. So along the way though, if you were to go there today, you would find that there is many historical, lots of evidence. There's lots of churches that would express part of the story and would kind of unpack it for you. So you'd kind of be able to see physical things. Like if you went to Jerusalem, you'd be able to see other things like that as well. And when we look at the story here in 28, and we see that the people were like, okay, he's done something great, so he must be a god, and then how they treat him. It reminds me, if I went back just a couple chapters in Acts 14, when Paul, he healed a disabled man, and then they thought, this guy must be a god. And then Paul's like, no, don't worship me. Like, I serve God, and God is working through me. Don't serve me. And the people are like, oh, well, if you're not a god, then let's just stone you to death then. You know, like, if you're not a god, well, who cares about, you know, like, thanks a lot. Like, that's not terrible. Like, I just healed a guy in your community, and you're like, well, if you're not going to claim to be a god that we can worship, then we might as well just kill you off. Like, that's ridiculous. And so poor Paul here again is like, you know, he's around this community, he's getting snake bitten, and then he's like curing people, and they're, you know, like, you're just like, Paul's like, I mean, his life is just up and down, man. Like, you just imagine, like, God has called me away, like, you changed my name, it used to be Saul, I was going to kill Christians, then you changed my name to Paul, and now you have me for the ministry of healing and that kind of stuff. Great, I love this ministry, I love this title. The apostle, the healer of healers, the greatest apostle ever. And then I go around and heal people. And what's the recipient? What do I get for doing that, God? I get stoned and beaten and whipped. Like, that's not cool. And so I don't know what your life is like. You say, I gave my life to Jesus. But then certain things still happen in your life. And you're like, God, that makes no sense. But it's part of the journey. It's part of our story. And though your story might get hard at times, there's wonderful things that come at the end. And sometimes we have to go through a little bit of difficulty to get to a good place. Sometimes we've got to be able to push through things. I think that's really what I want to be able to take away from that. Hey, if you were to go to Malta today, though, there actually is, I'll tell you about this one little bit of a poisonous snake there, but it's not anymore. It's not like it used to be. Hey, I was at Fairy Island. I got a picture of this one here just the other day, going on a little daddy-daughter date with my, and all of a sudden the ground's moved. I'm like, well, what is that? You know, get in the bushes, like, okay, take a picture of it, right? So I got this gardener snake up there. You can see its eye of black. But in Malta, actually, they don't have gardener snakes anyways. Those are just wimpy snakes that don't do anything. We just grab it and flip it around and pretend it's a lasso. I'm joking, but they're pretty tame. Not too many poisonous spiders or snakes around here. But in Malta, there are no more, like, seriously poisonous snakes that would zonk you out. There is this one snake, which is cool. Look at this on the big screen. The cat eye snake. Isn't that just cool? Because it's got like a cat eye. And it has fangs in the back of its mouth, and it'll eat little rodents and stuff. But all like the serious poisonous snakes are gone because all the forest is not there anymore where those poisonous snakes would have lived. So if you were to go there today, it would look a little different. Anyways, why did I tell you all that? Because we've got to understand snakes. We've got to understand what the story is all about, because I want to get you to a point in the Old Testament, which is going to be super fun. So this whole scene is another example of people looking at Paul and going, you know, he's a prisoner, but he's trustworthy. He's somebody that I kind of value as a person, even though he's in prison. You know, remember when Paul's in prison, like, you know, he'd lead inmates. He would lead other people to Jesus through those experiences, even though there's all these accusations upon him. So in the conclusion of this story, Luke and Acts, we get to this point of this kind of this theological idea, this full understanding is that the sea and the snake do everything they can to take this poor guy out. And everything that the enemy really has to throw at us, like, we are victorious over. We are going to pull through and we're going to be good. New creation is happening all the time. The powers of evil can't stop it. Paul is on his way to Rome to bring the message of the gospel that's flourishing and growing, and nothing will withhold or stop what God is doing. And that's where we leave the story. And then you and I come into the scene years later. You know, we're continuing, right? Paul made it to Rome. Gospel kept advancing. The gospel spread all over the world. And here we are today remembering stories like this. And that's where we land in the story. So what's our history like? When we think about our church history, 90 years, we think, it's been great 90 years of our church. You know that all throughout time in church history, there's been some really difficult times, hasn't there been? And so this church locally right now, for whatever reason in this season, we get to partake in something that's growing, that's flourishing for whatever reason. And we say, praise God that I'm here. I'm a part of this thing right now. And so you'll hear more about that. How are we going to look at or address or work with a growing church? And so you're going to hear lots of language in the next little while about going to two services, because I want to make sure when you show up, whether you're early or late, that you can find somewhere to park. And I want to make sure that when you show up, you'll be able to sit together with your family. So it might need to look a little bit different as we move forward together. You'll hear more about that at the end of the sermon. There was just a little kind of a commercial break there just for a moment there. Let's get back to the message. Let me drink this water here. Okay. that was, I just had to pave a foundation for something. I just want to get to this with you. Let's go back to the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. So in the very book, we have Genesis, Exodus, and we got Romans back here somewhere, or Numbers. No, yeah, get in the right book, eh? Getting too excited. Leviticus, Numbers. So if we were to go back and look at the story, because we always got to remember, when we're in the New Testament, there is always an example in the Old Testament of what we just read. And then when we go to the Old Testament, which we'll do in a second, we'll read it together, then we can look forward to, or there's foreshadowing, what's going on in the New Testament. So there's this beautiful connection. So we're going to make these connections this morning. So we read in the New Testament. Let's go back to the Old Testament and find the connection. So we're in Numbers chapter 21. And don't leave there. Put a little cursor there because we're going to read one verse and then we got to skip over to the middle of the Old Testament. So Numbers chapter 21 verse 5 says, they spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no honking bread. There's no honking water. We, you know, this detestable manna that you keep feeding us is disgusting and gross. Like, it's exclamation point. Like, they are ticked off. Like, are you upset about this? Yes, I'm very upset about this food. I'm tired of living like this. You know, God brought them out of slavery and bondage and into the wilderness, and they're still grumbling and complaining. God saved my life. He set me free from all my sickness and pain and brokenness and darkness, and I still grumble and complain at times, don't I? Not here this morning, I promise. I'll be nice. But there are times that we just do that. And so just don't leave there, though. Stay in number 21. But let's go to Psalm just for a second, if you want, or I can just read it for you. Psalm 78, because it explains what were they grumbling about? What was so hard? And so if we looked at the subheading, if we had a little bit of a study Bible, we don't, most people just have regular Bibles. If you had a study Bible, the heading would say this, lessons from history. Psalm 78 is teaching us lessons from history to retell the history of the Jewish nation from the time of slavery in Egypt to David's reign. It was told over and over and over, and even this morning, over again, to each generation so that they would not forget God and make the same mistakes as their ancestors. Man, we got to learn from the past. I love seniors. They're brilliant. They have so much to teach me. I'm still learning. I feel like I'm catching up to you, though. But anyways, we've got to learn. We've got to remember. We've got to be reminded. So Psalm 78, verse 8. They would not be like their forefathers, stubborn, rebellious generations whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. I'm just going to look at a couple of verses. Verse 10. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. And then verse 11. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. They forgot and were not faithful. They didn't obey God's law. And they forgot how majestic and miraculous God was. And they just began to start complaining. And the root of their problem was their attitude and their actions about what God was doing. God was doing wonderful things. And then their attitude got the better of them and caused them to complain. And when we complain, it can take a hold of us and set up a root where all of a sudden it's affecting our whole being. Our attitude is out to lunch and God is saying, don't forget that. Don't forget who I am. Don't forget what I'm up to. Don't forget, like, maybe right now you might feel it, but there's a day coming when you will be free of it. And so we can just stand and take heart in that. Let's finish the rest of the story, though. Okay, I'm going to freak you out, right? I apologize. Old Testament, bear with me. This is factually sound. This is biblically sound doctrine right now. But just when I read it, you might be like, wow, that was really weird. But just, I'm reading the Bible, so let's just have some fun together. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 21, verse 6. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. That's what we're talking about this morning. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take these snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Isn't that weird? Like God said, make this thing and then go stare at it and you'll be healed. Like, really? Like, that just seems awkward. But let me flesh it out for you, because again, we're in the Old Testament and it's foreshadowing something. You already know where I'm going, most of you. What is it foreshadowing? Let's go read it right out of Jesus' mouth in John. I don't mean to jump all over the place, but we've got to make these connections. You got to understand. I don't want to say it. I want the Bible to say it. God's got to teach us through his word. So in John chapter 3, verse 13, 14, and 15, it says this. Jesus says this. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So Jesus here explains that just as the Israelites in the Old Testament, in Numbers, were healed of their sicknesses by looking at a snake on a pole, all believers today can be saved from their sickness of sin. By looking to what? Not to the Old Testament style, but looking to who? Who hung on a pole? Who died for us? Who do we look to? By looking to Jesus' death on the cross, it wasn't the snake that healed the people. It was their belief that God could heal them. This belief was demonstrated by their obedience to God's instructions, even though it was super honking weird. Like, what the heck, God? You want me to make a bronze snake and, you know, stare at this thing? Like, this is ridiculous, man. But it's what God said to do. I will do it. In the same way, we should continue to look to Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, let us fix our eyes. It's so important to understand that. You fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, this bronze snake and this pole was, again, for those people to be looking forward to in the New Testament when Jesus showed up on the scene, that we need to be looking to him. And here's what's important for us to understand, though, is that when we look to Jesus, we want healing from our sin, our sinful ways, so that we can be right with God, right with Jesus, so that we can be in eternity together. Now, here's what happens sometimes is that medical professionals even help us and they give us medications and our bodies get healed. But we're still not healed of our sickness. We're still not right with Jesus. So I don't care how healthy we are, our healthy bodies can end up in a place like hell and suffer for a long time. So we want our sin to be healed more than we want our physical bodies to be healed. If my physical body, it's been 3 years, I'm not healed, I've got all kinds of problems. If my physical body goes through a life and I actually end up dead and my physical body is all broken and a disaster, but I'm going to end up in heaven and I'm going to get a new body and I'm going to be healed in heaven. But until then, if for some reason God has me on this honking ship, this journey and snake bites all the time, it's just painful and crazy and weird, I'm going to have to be okay with that. Now, I want to be healed in Jesus' name. I want to get up here one day, I want to take all these medications, take them just honk and put them all in the garbage can. But, you know, if that doesn't happen, am I going to grumble and complain? Or am I going to say, I know Jesus. Jesus has saved my soul, and I am free of my sin. And this old rickety body will come along for the ride. I'm going to have to drag it along with me. But we're going to get there, baby. We're going to get there together in Jesus' name. And I'm going to pray that each one of us in this church will get there together and that our community will get there. I am burdened. I'm almost angry, like a righteous anger when people don't know Jesus. And people kind of go, well, God, you know, and you would read this in the Old Testament. Look at this God. He brings snakes. All this weird stuff happens. Like, I can't serve a God like that. Do you know Jesus? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Why wouldn't you want to receive that? I talk to so many people that don't know Jesus. And they're broken. They open up to me. They tell me what's going on in their lives. I say, I actually have a solution for you. Let's go invite him into your heart. He can help you. Just like the Old Testament always pointed, every scripture points to Jesus. Every time you come to this church, Pastor Ben and I are going to point you to Jesus. That's the answer. That's the answer for all of our problems. And so Don't look to anything else. Yes, I go to doctors. Yes, I see naturopaths. I see internal medicine specialists. Yes, I get massages, all these kind of things. I'm on Medicaid. Hey, yes. Yeah. Don't be foolish. Don't just this morning, well, Pastor Rob said, I don't need that kind of stuff anymore. You know, I'm going to honk, slam, you know, boom. You know, no, please. Like, you need these people in our lives. But if you're looking to the doctors to save your soul, you got issues. You got to say, no. My soul needs Jesus. And my soul will be healed in Jesus' name. My soul will be freed in Jesus' name. So that I can have joy and peace and happiness. All those things that you can't actually get from a doctor. There's only one person that can give that to you. His name is Jesus. So I hope that you would resonate with that this morning. God bless you guys. I love you so much. Thank you for letting me share with you. Let me just pause and close in a prayer, and then we'll sing one last song together. Lord, thank you for your word. It seems, sometimes a bit loaded and interesting, but at the end of the day, it's always pointing to how much you love us, that you looked at our broken state and you said, I got to send my son Jesus to make it right. Help us to have the right attitude and the right focus. Help our eyes to be on the right things. Lord, I pray that we would grow tired and weary of the things of this world. I pray that we would begin to feel disgusted with the pleasures of this world, and that our thirst and our hunger and our desires would be to spend time with Jesus, to spend time in his word, to spend time in prayer and fellowship with other believers. Lord, I was really struggling with this message last night. Just felt like it was the message of the year. This was the message that our church needed to hear this year. So thank you for speaking it to me. I couldn't get it out of my thoughts. I just was wrestling with it so much that it's like, man, I need to hear it. People need to hear this message. Our community needs to hear this message. People that don't know you need to hear this message. Pray that we would stop worrying and complaining, that we would fix our eyes upon you, Father. Help us to do that. We can't do that on our own. We can't do this without you. So thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.